To see the final history written on my administration. When you work on big items, items to agendas will transform parts of the world to make it more peaceful, we're not going to be around to see it.
What? What is he? Is he going to commit suicide? What the hell is that about? Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in tonight. That was Chucklenuts. He and his poodle shared a farewell today in the Rose Garden, where Bush deflected questions about Abu Gonzalez's attempt to coerce poor old dying John Ashgar. Well, he was dying there for a couple of years ago from pancreatitis. So Gonzalez and Andy Card went in there to try to further subvert justice. And the guy that testified yesterday, Comey, we're going to have some of that for you tonight, too, witnessed all this. They tried to bully Ashcroft into authorizing warrantless wiretaps. And for some reason, Ashcroft said no. Oh, my God. Have we been misreading him? Is Ashcroft really a good guy, Kathy? Could that be?
It was probably the poison flowing through his veins.
Anyway, we have moron sounds for you tonight from Bush, and these are exceedingly moronic. I don't know. It's getting bizarrer and bizarrer. During that press conference, and you'll hear this, I think we have the sound for it, Bush avoids questions about why he's so universally hated in the U.K., so moron sounds on the program tonight. And the good news of today is that Al Gore says he hasn't ruled out a presidential bid for 2008. How about that? So keep that petition going. If you haven't gone there, Suzanne will send me an email in L.A. and say, tell your audience to go to, what is it, draftgore.com and sign up.
Right.
So all in all, it should be a rather entertaining program tonight, although we're going to start out with an absolutely excruciatingly hideous and horrifying story. I'm sure you've probably seen the video now of the Iraqi girl being stoned to death because this is a 17-year-old kid who apparently was in love, right? In love. With a boy of another religion. The boy is a Sunni, and apparently the young girl was a member of a minority religious sect called the Yazidi. I have no idea, and I'm not going to Google it, and I'm not going to Wikipedia it, because I hate all religion, and this is just another example. If you saw any of the stills of the video of this poor child being stoned to death by these rat bastard 12th century Muslim sons of bitches. It's just this is what the Christian fundamentalists want in this country, too. They want the same kind of biblical law, only they want to direct that kind of rage and murder at, gays, liberals, children who disobey their parents. We really live in sick times, don't we? I realize this is not something new. I know the Saudis do this with alarming regularity. The Bush crime family's chief financiers, stoning a woman to death is not uncommon in these ass backward Muslim societies. Threatening people with it is not uncommon in these ass backward Christian societies. I'm afraid tonight about the only group that makes any sense if you're going to do religion is the Jews, right? I mean, let's be real. I don't like Israel's foreign policy, but, you know, the Jews don't stone people to death, and the Jews don't condemn people to eternal, everlasting, infinite hell. What? Oh, okay. Kathy's looking at me, shaking her head. But 8 or 9 men dragged this teenage girl outside of her house, or not her house, but where she sought sanctuary, and stoned her for half an hour until she died. Son of a bitch. I can't... And they call that an honor killing. An honor killing. The boy is a Sunni Muslim. She was a member of this psychotic religious sect, the Yazidi. And if there are any Yazidi listening, screw you and whoever you wrote in on, you know. You want to get funky with me, issue a fatwa on me and then come and try to fulfill it. I'll put more holes in you than a sieve. God, I hate these people. Her killers, it says here, according to the reports out there, her killers believe she shamed herself and her family when she failed to return home one night. Oh, well, kill her then. My God. Some reports suggest she had converted to Islam to be closer to her boyfriend. Apparently, Yazidi is some, I don't know, what are these sick bastards? What do they handle? Some of these Christian freaks here in the North Georgia Mountains play with snakes. What did the Yazidi play with? Scorpions? Now, it is feared or believed that her death, by the way, this happened last month, but it's only the video of the stoning only went out on the internet, I think, yesterday. It is feared, it says here, that her death triggered retaliation from Muslims. Last week, 23 Yazidi workmen were forced off a bus and shot dead by a group of Sunni gunmen. I dislike fundamentalist Christians, the Dominionists, the Christian Reconstruction freaks. I dislike Jewish fundamentalists, although they're certainly not anything like the Christian fundamentalists. But I have a particular place of hatred and contempt in my heart for these 12th century Islamic fundamentalists. Yeah, I really do. And that it's disgusting beyond belief. Just disgusting. Let me pause and get my breath here. When you look at that video, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but oh my God. Sick bastards, religious freaks. This is the same stuff that Jerry Falwell talked about. Same stuff Pat Robertson talks about. Same stuff that Billy Graham's spawn talk about. Same stuff James Dobson talks about. Same stuff this AG freak or whatever his name is. All of these rat bastards, every single one of them. I don't care what sect or what religion, if they're fundamentalists, if they are Jewish, Islamic or Christian, and they're fundamentalists, they're all sick. They're all sick. Mentally unbalanced, insane, crazy. But these Muslim fundamentalists in these Islamic countries, boy, I'll tell you, I would rather live in a pit of swill and vomit than live in one of these countries and have to deal with that kind of religious presence. Deep breath. Okay. Now, on top of that horrible story, there's a report out by a leading British think tank today that says Iraq is on the verge of collapse. It's on the verge of becoming a non-state, a failed state. Thanks to George W. Bush and Tony Blair. Thanks to the Saudis. Thanks to the Iranians. Iraq is going right down the toilet. We have been hammering this country for 13, 14 years now. What do you call it when you kill someone wantonly and without cause? That's called murder, right? What do you call it when you kill a couple of million people and destroy their state? Even though their state is a made-up construct, there never has been in Iraq until after World War I, or was it... Even later than that. But what do you call it when you are involved in the murder of an entire country, all the people in it, all their infrastructure, their babies, their school children, their wives, their husbands, their old people? What do you call that? George W. Bush and Tony Blair are goddamn mass killers. Both of them should be put in a dock someplace, like we did to the Nazis after World War II. What the hell? Who is kidding whom here? These two scum suckers stand there at a press conference today with blood all over them, and Bill Clinton ought to be in the dock with them, and George Herbert Walker Bush. This just infuriates me. But there stands these two dorks today, stroking each other. I mean, I was just, I thought, my God, what's going on here? These two are complicit in mass murder. And they're standing there talking about, oh, well, it's been great, Tony. Well, it's been nice, George. Well, it's been great, Tony. Well, it's been nice, George. Ow, I love you. Oh, kiss, kiss. Jesus, God.
How strange to choose to kill a child. Hoover, Blaupunkt, Nissan, Jeep, Nike, Adidas, Lacoste, and cheaper brands. Cadillac, Amtrak, gasoline, diesel, a standard of living. Could this be the reason
that we would choose to kill a child?
The best way to defeat the totalitarian of hate is with an ideology of hope, an ideology of hate.
Stupid bastard. Iraq is on the verge of collapse. Now, according to it's a leading British think tank, it released a report today. It is referred to as Chatham House. It also said there was not one civil war in Iraq, but several civil wars between rival communities. The report accuses Iraq's main neighbors, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, of having reasons, quote, for seeing the instability there continue, end quote. The report said it can be argued that Iraq is on the verge of becoming a failed state, which faces the distinct possibility of collapse and fragmentation. The report goes on to say the Iraqi government is not able to exert authority evenly or effectively over the country. Across huge swaths of territory, it is largely irrelevant in terms of ordering social, economic, and political life, end quote. The report also said that this surge, this psychotic game that George Tinkerbell Bush has been playing with our soldiers and the lives of our people and the lives of Iraqis, that surge, that security crackdown in Baghdad has failed. It has failed to reduce overall violence across the country. Insurgent groups have just shifted their activities outside Baghdad. The report goes on to say that rather than one civil war pitting majority Shiites against minority Sunnis nationwide, Iraq's cross-cutting conflicts, it's referred to, are being driven by power struggles between sectarian, ethnic, and tribal groups with differing regional, political, and ideological goals as they compete for the country's resources, compete with the transnational oil companies and the Bush crime family. This is not unlike, although it's much bloodier and it's much sicker because it's based on this religious vomit, but it's not unlike the breakup of Yugoslavia after Marshal Tito died. The independent commie for 50 years after World War II, Marshal Tito, more or less told the Russian bear to go screw itself. Was Tito a communist? Yes. Was he a dictator? Yes. Was there freedom, political freedom in Yugoslavia? Hell no. But it was after Tito died that the sectarian and religious and political violence erupted and the country became fragmented, went back to somebody's idea of what it was before Marshal Tito, before World War II. Christ, it probably went back to the Ottoman Empire. I hate this stuff, you know? I really do. But if you take a look, seriously, if you take a look at most of the killing and the violence and the stoning and the murderous stuff that's going on the planet right now, tell me one that is not, to some degree, if not in its totality, religious. Religious murder, religious strife. My God's better than your God. I will kill you, you son of a bitch. You blaspheming dog. I will kill you. I will destroy you because I believe in this God and you believe in that God and you're going to die. That topic really upsets me. Yeah, it does. Okay. The you know how George Bush always rounds up the nearest troops that he can get his filthy, murderous hands on and uses them for a backdrop? Anytime this miserable, cowardly little bastard wants to make some sort of a political statement or some sort of a speech that involves his murderous international policies or his contempt, his disrespect for the military, he always rounds up a bunch of soldiers and he puts them behind him. And they have no choice. They have no choice. This is the pervert who is their commander-in-chief. And aside from that, their squad leaders and their base commanders have said, you get out there, you'll sit down behind this son of a bitch, and you'll applaud when you're supposed to, and you'll smile. And the first one of you that gives the finger, I will see that you are court-martialed and sent out of the military with a dishonorable discharge. What are you going to do with that when you're faced with that, right? You're going to get up on the stage behind this cowardly bastard, and you're going to sit there in your uniform, and you're going to pretend like you really respect him. Or like he really knows what he's doing. And when the gig is over, then you're going to jump up with your digital camera and get a picture of you and this filthy little twit. For what reason? Well, he is the President of the United States. But you know what you're thinking. You know what these military guys are thinking. Now I understand why they made me leave my weapon back in the barracks. Well, guess what Bush has done where it concerns the military that he fetishizes, where it concerns the military that he totally disrespects, where it concerns the military of which he could never be a member because he was a drunk and a drug addict. Well, stick around. I'll tell you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
Oh, Jesus. Sit down and shut up. Damn, that's a killer. By the way, just a quick program note here before I get back to Bush's love of the military. We have a guest tomorrow. It's tomorrow night. He's going to be on tomorrow night. Okay. We have a surprise guest tomorrow. Well, all guests are surprises, aren't they? That's so redundantly stupid. We have a guest on tomorrow night, one of my former colleagues. And don't miss it. When's he going to be on? Start of the second hour. And his initials are Sam Cedar? Oh, okay. Oh, wait, did I give something away? Sam's going to be on tomorrow night, right? Maybe he'll have an announcement. Bush, who uses human lives the way you and I use Kleenex in his little war games, wherever he decides to play them, this man turns my stomach to a degree almost as deeply and as vilely as Muslim fundamentalists. I'll just share it with you. This is from thinkprogress.org. The Bush administration today threatened to veto a House defense spending bill because it contains a 3.5% pay raise for U.S. soldiers and a $40 a month increase in benefits for military widows. $40 a month, $10 a week, $1.75 a day. The legislation passed the U.S. House by a vote of 397-27. $40 a month increase in benefits for military widows, and one assumes widowers, people who have allowed their spouses to go into this rat bastard's war and die. And Bush is going to veto it. The White House released the following statement. Troops don't need bigger pay raises, White House budget officials said Wednesday in a statement of administration policy that lays out objections to the House version of the 2008 Defense Authorization Bill. Bush budget officials said the administration, quote, strongly opposes, end quote, both the 3.5% raise for 2008 and follow-on increases, calling extra pay increases, quote, unnecessary, end quote. The White House also says it opposes the $40 a month allowance for military survivors, saying the current benefits are, quote, sufficient, end quote. The Bush crime family also opposes additional benefits for surviving family members of civilian employees. The Bush crime family also opposes price controls for prescription drugs under TRICARE, which is the military's health care plan for military personnel and their dependents, like their children. Now, what I don't understand is how America thinks that Republicans support the military. What the hell does it take? Every Republican in America is a coward. Every one of them. The ones in the House and the Senate are beyond cowardice. They are simpering fools, freaks, idiots. They are afraid of their own shadow, and they hate people who join the military. They look at them as jackasses, freaks, fools, and losers. And this is how they retaliate. I swear to God, there was a veterans march on the White House back in the 30s. Veterans who of World War I who had been promised a bonus. I think they were called the Bonus Marchers. And the president who preceded Roosevelt. Was it Wilson?
How old do I look?
They called out the United States military that was going to open fire on the bonus marchers, and the head of the military that was called out, I think the commander of those forces was a major or colonel, Douglas MacArthur. Maybe it's time. I know I've got that all garbled. Don't email me and straighten it up. It's the spirit of what I'm saying, not the facts that are important. Maybe it's time for veterans. Maybe it's time for the Vietnam vets who are now in their 60s. Maybe it's time for the Vietnam vets to the ones who have been told that their exposure to Agent Orange and the subsequent crippling and destruction of their bodies and their sons and daughters who have been born since they came home, that is not really just psychological disorder. It is an actual chemical disorder brought about by the use of, by the United States military of a cancer-causing defoliant. Maybe the Gulf War I veterans who were exposed to depleted uranium dust, who are giving birth to whose wives are giving birth to 7-pound, 4-ounce blobs of protoplasm that don't even have a brain. Maybe those people should march. Maybe the current veterans who are coming back, an inordinate number of whom are coming back with severe mental problems, maybe they should march. Maybe it's time for the military in this country to say enough of this. Huh? What do you think? Aren't soldiers brave and strong? Don't they believe in freedom and justice? Oh, I understand. They have to follow chain of command. But once you're out of the military, can't you go to the people who destroyed you and corrupted you and lied to you and ruined your life and ruined your spouse's life and now want to deny your brothers in arms a damn 3.5% pay increase and the ability to hold the line on your prescription drugs? Don't you have the obligation at that point, since you're no longer in the chain of command, to say, wait a goddamn minute, this is not why I went to war? Don't you? No, you don't? Okay. Just thought I'd check. Gonna veto it. Gonna veto it. 3.5% pay raise for soldiers. They don't need it. $40 and $10.75 a day increase in benefits for military widows and widowers. Don't need it. Too much. $40 a month. Too much. Okay. Calm down. It was Hoover, not Wilson. Thank you, everybody. President Hoover. Yeah, the Hoovervilles. The bonus marchers. Senators Schumer and Feinstein today called for the Senate to formally express its lack of confidence in Attorney General Alberto Abu Ghraib Gonzalez and the president of People for the American Way, Ralph Nice, issued the following statement, which pretty much encapsulates everything the senators said today. Ralph Nice says, quote, Attorney General Gonzalez's credibility is in tatters. He cannot be allowed to pass the buck and escape responsibility for the activities of the Justice Department under his watch. We have now seen several high-level resignations from the Justice Department, but no sacrificial lamb can absolve Attorney General Gonzalez of his accountability. Since he came to Washington with Bush 6 years ago, Alberto Gonzalez has shown a slavish devotion to advocating for the political and ideological interests of this president, regardless of the law or any higher moral obligations. From warrantless wiretapping, torture, imprisonment at Guantanamo, improper political firings of U.S. attorneys, Alberto Gonzalez has helped the president to gut our most basic constitutional protections and then willfully misled Congress and the American people about his actions. This week's bizarre revelations of his late-night visit to John Ashcroft's hospital bed should be the last straw. The least he can do is to leave the Justice Department without further compromising its integrity. All members of Congress who support the Constitution and equal justice under law, without exception, should support a resolution of no confidence. He's another one. In the meantime, this squirmy, smarmy, smelly-looking Paul Wolfowitz, he's another one, has resigned. And what does he get? He gets a $400,000 bonus for resigning. And his girlfriend gets, I don't know what the deal is on the girlfriend. And the interesting thing about the girlfriend, apparently, if you want to take the time to check the dates, apparently Wolfowitz started his little affair with Shahariza when he was still married. No, that couldn't be.
Does he get a gold-plated comb?
No, but he'll probably get the Medal of Freedom because he has been so instrumental, you know, in setting our Iraq policy under this twit who now squats in the White House. They'll welcome us with open arms. They'll see us as liberators. They'll dance in the streets, Wolfowitz said. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Mulway.
Defining Anger Management. It's Mike Mulway, only on Nova M Radio.
Where were we, Kathy? I've gotten almost out of my skin two or three times tonight. I forget where I was. And the soldiers, right. The soldiers rebelling, retired soldiers. You're out of the chain of command now. You don't have to kiss anybody's hindquarters. You don't have to worry about being brought up on charges. You can call a spade and an idiot an idiot. And hear this rat bastard. The Bush crime family wants to do this. They're screaming about 3.5% pay increase. 3.5% pay increase. And they're screaming about $40 increase in benefits to families of dead soldiers. I can't understand why anybody in this country supports the Republican Party. I really can't. Those of you who do are either grossly misinformed or you are as sick and as degenerate as your leadership is. You know, I've said before, I can tolerate just about anything, but this kind of hypocrisy, well, no, but you know what I mean. This kind of hypocrisy, whether it's religious or political, it turns my stomach. Who decided that hypocrites would have the hottest spot, the lowest ring of hell? Was that Dante Alighieri, or was it in the Bible? Where was it, Kathy? The hottest spot in hell is reserved for hypocrites. Brooke writes in, Mike, I love your passion. I wish I had your job. I feel exactly the same way you do, and I don't have anywhere to yell about it. I'm so sick of being surrounded by people who don't give a blank about anything. The Bush crime family has nearly destroyed my country. I'm devastated. Have you ever read What's the Matter with Kansas? Yes. It's a great book and explains how the Republican Party has duped many Americans and taken advantage of blind religious faith. Please watch Bush's America on YouTube. It'll blow you away. It shows how filtered our news is here in America. And it's from Brooke, a third grade teacher. Thanks for writing, Brooke. Yeah, I took out a couple of the words. Brooke's sitting at home going, oh, God, I thought he was going to read it the way I wrote it. No. Oh, my God. Athena writes, Mike, the soldiers and their survivors don't need a pay raise and survivors benefits? What the blank are these people thinking? Oh, that's right. They don't think about anyone but themselves. A crappy $40 a month and a raise for the troops that the elite make in about 30 seconds? Well, Paul Wolfowitz doesn't need his $400,000 severance either. I'm totally incensed and will call my congressman in the morning. When are they going to impeach these people? Enough is enough. From Athena, the warrior goddess. It just, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm as male as the next guy, but these kinds of stories, I saw that story about the 17-year-old girl in Iraq, and I cried. I just sat there. You know, I've got a three-year-old, almost three-year-old. So it's and other grown kids, and it's not hard to relate. I you know, a couple times a day, just, that's why I have to stay away from the news. I have to stay away from as much as I can, but you know, I got to get in it at some point. That's what I do. That's like a surgeon who can't stand blood. You know, it's ridiculous. But that story about the teenager being stoned and no one helping her. And the tears that spring into my eyes are, I think, more rage. They start out as rage, and then they become just sad, you know, just sad, just sadness, just sadness. Just wondering what the 17-year-old girl could have done with her life. And I'm not talking about finding a cure for cancer. I'm just talking about being married and loving her partner and doing whatever, if that's what she wanted to do. Just having a life. But these religious bastards killed her, murdered her. And then the story about the soldiers and the hypocrisy there, the monumental hypocrisy on the part of every single one of these creepy bastards that exists inside the Bush crime family. Every single one of them. Crawly, snappish, penetrating, vicious bugs is what they are. They're like cockroaches, some kind of they scuttle away when you cast a light on them. They flatten out in order to get inside your home to bite you they're horrifying. And the way they take young, living, breathing, uniformed American troops and turn them into nothing but props and horrors and staging equipment for their filthy, filthy lies, and then turn around and stab them in the back like this, just over and over and over again. It never stops. Every time you turn around, there's a Republican who is just pummeling the U.S. military, individually, collectively, pummeling and destroying its honor, pummeling and destroying its family members who contribute the blood and the gristle and the bone and the muscle into this filthy, degenerate war machine that we still think we are. And behind all of it sits these filthy Republicans, every single one of them. Shame on all of you. If you're a Republican and you sneak around and listen to this program at night, I've caught you. You're like a cockroach, and we catch you. We know you're out there. We know you're listening. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. So a couple times today, you know, I'm just trying to live my life, just like you are. I you know, this is just the job I do. I'm trying to live my life. I took Molly to the zoo here in Atlanta today. We're gone for a couple, 3 hours. You know, and I watch her look at, and I hate zoos, but I watch her look at the animals, and we get on the carousel, and we rode the little train around the zoo, you know, and I watch my little almost three-year-old just bouncing around, just so full of energy and pep and piss and vinegar, and just, you know, she's just such a delight. And then I read about a 17-year-old girl in Iraq who was stoned to death because she loved somebody. And I read about soldiers who have children like my three-year-old daughter being told, go screw yourself. $40 more a month? Nah. It's about 7 past the hour. Are you all aware of the testimony the other day, Tuesday, by former Deputy Attorney General James Comey? Is it Comey or Comey? Is it Comey? James Comey, who described that night in March 2004, 3 years ago, when these thugs from the Bush crime family tried to pressure John Ashcroft into endorsing Bush's illegal wiretapping operation. Here's the part I don't understand. Who among us doesn't understand? Wait a minute. I don't understand why articles of impeachment are not being drawn up, certainly on this particular incident. Bush was violating the law, and he sent his two thugs over to try to coerce a very sick man, John Ashcroft, who I don't give a tinker's damn if he lives or dies. I really don't. Ashcroft to me is just another thug. But these pigs don't care. See, they'll turn on each other. They'll eat each other. They rend each other's limbs off of their bodies if that's what is necessary. These are vile, vile, no holds barred scum. So they go after Ashcroft to get Ashcroft to sign off on something that even Ashcroft, as much of a nutcase as he is, even he's not going to do it. But Card and Gonzalez, and Gonzalez now is Attorney General. At the time he wasn't Attorney General. Who was Attorney General? James Comey, acting Attorney General. Why? Because Ashcroft was too sick. He was suffering from pancreatitis. Did he have surgery, Kathy? I don't even know. So it had been turned over to James Comey, the duties of the Attorney General. They don't pay any attention to Comey. They go for Ashcroft because they know he's drugged, he's sick, he's in a hospital, he can't even think straight, not that he ever could, but he even less could think straight. And these two pissants show up and try to coerce him into signing something. Comey is there. They ignore Comey. Ashcroft says, I'm not the Attorney General right now. He is, and points to Comey. They ignore him and leave. And then later, Andrew Card summons James Comey to the Oval Office. A couple of days later, Comey says, given what I saw the other night, I'm not going to come unless there's another person present. And he asked to have the Solicitor General attend the meeting because Comey realized something. He's dealing with murderers, killers, sons of bitches who have no interest in governing this country or the Constitution or anything other than their own private personal agendas. This is astonishing stuff. New York Times today. The really big question, an urgent avenue for investigation, is what exactly the National Security Agency was doing before that night. Because, you see, Card and Gonzalez rushed over there to get Ashcroft to sign off that the National Security Agency was allowed to do what it was already doing. So the Times says, you know, what were they doing as a result of George W. Bush's personal orders? Wow. Times writes in their lead editorial today, did Mr. Bush start by authorizing the agency to intercept domestic emails and telephone calls without first getting a warrant? Mr. Bush has acknowledged authorizing surveillance without a court order of communications between people abroad and people in the United States. But what about all domestic? The surveillance without a court order of communications between people abroad and people in the United States, that alone violates the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Domestic spying without a warrant would be an even more grievous offense. And that the New York Times doesn't follow up by saying, an impeachable one! This law-breaking son of a bitch. This is just astonishing. Times goes on to say, the question cannot be answered because Mr. Bush is hiding so much about the program. But whatever was going on, it so alarmed Mr. Comey and FBI Director Robert Mueller that they sped to the hospital, roused the barely conscious Mr. Ashcroft, and got him ready to fend off the White House Chief of Staff, Andrew Card, and Mr. Bush's counsel at the time, Alberto Gonzalez. Mr. Comey said the bizarre events in Mr. Ashcroft's hospital room were precipitated by a White House request that the Justice Department sign off on a continuation of the eavesdropping, which started in October 2001. Mr. Comey, who was acting Attorney General while Mr. Ashcroft was ill, refused. Comey said his staff had reviewed the program as it was then being run and believed it was illegal. And then the Times says this. So someone at the White House, and Americans need to know who, dispatched Mr. Gonzalez and Mr. Carr to Ashcroft's hospital bed. Mr. Ashcroft flatly refused to endorse the program. This is, how much more of this needs to be revealed? How many more of these stories need to come out? You know, we've had two people who headed up the, two people who formerly headed up the Bush crime family's so-called faith-based initiative stuff. We've had both of those people come out and say that it was all fraud. It had nothing to do with faith. They've come out and said that Karl Rove is, in fact, an atheist, which makes me almost want to go convert and become a fundamentalist Christian. Jesus, I don't want him in my camp. But, no. No chance that'll happen. But these two people who formerly, in their own times, headed up the faith-based operations that operate within this crime family, have both said that everybody in the Bush inner circle laughed at people like this freak, now dead, thank you God, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, all of these freaks, they're mocked, they're made fun of. The Christian fundamentalists in this country are mocked, made fun of. It's out there. That information is out there. But Christian fundamentalists continue to support them. Why? But instance after instance of people from the inner circle who have broken free, who have cast off the demon spell, who have gone through an exorcism and have come out of this filthy, corrupt, murderous White House, have said, "Oh my God," or a variation of that. Comey is a former federal prosecutor in New York and Virginia. He's described by his colleagues as a solid Republican, but one whose devotion to the law trumped political considerations. Well, the Bush crime family, I have none of that. You know, these people are Republicans in name only. They would be, I don't know, mud worshippers if it would get them what they want. If there were 40 million mud worshippers in this country, then Bush would claim, "I'm a mud worshipper, and here's what I'll do for the rest of the mud worshippers," in order to steal an election. I've never seen a gang as amoral as this gang. Amoral. In the testimony the other day, Comey, and this is according to the Washington Post, described publicly for the first time the tense confrontation between the White House and the Justice Department over the spying, the surveillance program in 2004, around the hospital visit. He said, Comey said, he had been angered by the visit of Gonzalez and Carr to Ashcroft's hospital room after the Justice Department had refused to recertify the program. "I was very upset," Comey told the committee. Quote, "I was angry. I thought I just witnessed an effort to take advantage of a very sick man who did not have the powers of the Attorney General because they had been transferred to me." End quote. And, of course, a spokeswoman for Ashcroft, who now heads a lobbying firm in Washington, said the Ashcroft would not comment on Comey's testimony. That's because Ashcroft is a filthy, sniveling little whore of a coward and a sneak himself. Just because he wouldn't go along with what they were asking does not make John Ashcroft some saint inside this circle of demons that is the Bush crime family. Ashcroft won't comment. Why not, John? Huh? Why don't you just step out? Come on, you're a good Christian man. Isn't there something in your perverted religion that talks about telling the truth?
Radical Talk Radio, make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
No 21 past the hour. Now, on top of all this stuff, all this testimony from Comey, these revelations of going into this religious fundamentalist freak's hospital bed when he's dealing with, I got an email here, it said it's gallbladder surgery, but he had an inflamed pancreas, which happens in gallbladder surgery if it's not taken care of timely. But with all of this, White House spokesman Tony Snow, according to the Washington Post, said today that he does not know anything about the hospital encounter. And he refused to discuss what he calls internal White House deliberations. That's what they call that, Kathy. Screaming at some sick pervert laying in a hospital bed is called internal White House deliberations.
Well, what other kind are there? And I just want to know, I mean, what did they do? Did they threaten Ashcroft with images of naked statues? Or,
oh, that
or
would, that would
did
have been
they
horrible.
Take away his Crisco?
That would have been horrible. They threatened him with something. Now, just a little postscript. This guy, James Comey, the former Deputy Attorney General, ultimately left the Justice Department August of 2005. He is now the Vice President and General Counsel of Lockheed Martin. So he can continue to negotiate the legality of one of the biggest manufacturers of death and destruction in the history of the human race, Lockheed Martin. Andy Card, you remember he resigned as White House Chief of Staff in April 2006, and he is now on the board of directors of Union Pacific Railroad. Okay. Comey said that he initially felt compelled to resign in March of 2004, quote, because I didn't believe that as the chief law enforcement officer in the country, I could stay when they had gone ahead and done something that I had said I could find no legal basis for, unquote. Which means he wouldn't say this. He wouldn't say that the White House was acting illegally. These rat bastards never do, because as I pointed out earlier and I point out all the time, Republicans all are cowards. Every last one of these thugs is essentially, essence, at bottom, a coward. All Comey has to say is, yeah, the sons of bitches were lying, they were violating the law, and I decided to get the hell out of Dodge. No, they won't do that. And now back to the scene in the hospital room. Comey and FBI Director Mueller got there ahead of Card and Gonzalez. This is like a Keystone Cops thing, isn't it? All right, now here's what it says. Soon afterward, Gonzalez, accompanied by Card, walked in carrying an envelope and explained that he wanted Ashcroft to sign a presidential order, Comey said. Comey went on to say, quote, and Attorney General Ashcroft then stunned me. He lifted his head off the pillow and in very strong terms expressed his view of the matter and then laid his head back down on the pillow and seemed spent. As he laid back down, he said, well, that doesn't matter because I'm not the Attorney General. There's the Attorney General. And he pointed to me. Gonzalez and Card did not acknowledge me, but simply turned and walked from the room, Comey said. He later received a call from Andrew Card summoning him to the White House. I responded, Comey said, that after the conduct I had just witnessed, I would not meet with him without a witness present. Andrew Card replied, what conduct? We were just there to wish him well. Jesus Christ. Comey said he insisted that the Solicitor General attend the meeting with Card, which eventually took place around 11 p.m. Now, why is this not more impeachable offenses? And this little rat bastard, Bush's Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez, what does this guy have to do in order for these half humans that say they're Republican as in republic, to insist? I understand the other day Hagel now has come out and demanded that Gonzalez get out of town. What is stopping Republicans from demanding that this son of a bitch be thrown out of office? Well, as I said, all Republicans, starting with Mitch McConnell all the way down the food chain, they're all cowards. Every single one of them is a sniveling coward. Oh, my God. You're going to play it? All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to switch channels and come back after Kathy plays this garbage, we'll be back after the break. Wait till I share with you something that the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party said yesterday about Ron Paul. You're not going to believe this.
You can see it in her eyes. Rah! It's time to let the mighty eagles, let the eagle soar,
or the eagle is sore,
like she's never soared before.
The eagle soars
from rocky coast.
I'm sore.
To golden shore.
To the shore.
Let the mighty eagle soar.
hard for me in the, you know, living in the this beautiful White House to give you an assessment, a first-hand assessment. I haven't been there. You have. I haven't.
Yeah. You've been there in spirit, though, haven't you, Chuckle Nuts? Huh? 26 before the hour. Weren't you over there carrying a plastic turkey? Well, never mind. Dry, drunk bastard. 26 before the hour. All right, this from the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. He said yesterday that he is going to try to bar Republican Congressman, Texas Congressman Ron Paul from future Republican presidential debates because of what the what Ron Paul, the comment that he made the other night in their stupid little debate that suggested the September 11th attacks were the fault of U.S. foreign policy. See, Ron Paul should know that you don't speak truth in this political system, ever, or your ass will get burned. And the more forceful and clear the truth is, the quicker the attack comes back on you. Now, for those of you who watched that debate, and for the people who appreciate Ron Paul, I interviewed him one time on radio when he was the Libertarian candidate for president. Yeah, he's got some good ideas. Yeah, he like any Libertarian, he does not believe in U.S. involvement in these kinds of murderous wars. Whatever. I'm just not going to comment that much on Ron Paul or the Libertarian Party. I don't feel qualified to do that. But the Michigan Republican Party chairman, Saul Anuzis, said he will circulate a petition among Republican National Committee members to ban Ron Paul for more debates. What he said the other night, Ron Paul said, "Have you ever heard about the reasons they attacked us? They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years. Now, other than the statement, they attack us because we've been over there, all of that is factual. And that statement, that part of the statement may be factual too. Why else? Because they don't like the fact that we buy houses? Oh, bat squeeze." Michigan Republican Party Chairman Anuzis called those comments, quote, "off the wall and out of whack," end quote. You miserable bastard. It was about the only true statement made at that entire so-called debate. Anuzis said during a Republican National Committee state leadership meeting, quote, "I think he would have felt much more comfortable on the stage with the Democrats in what he said last night. And I think that he is a distraction in the Republican primary, and he does not represent the base, and he does not represent the party." Well, the base are psychopathic religious nutballs. Anuzis said his petition would go to debate sponsors and broadcasters to discourage inviting Paul. Well, yeah, of course. Republicans are cowards. They are liars. They are deceivers. They are the spawn of every single demonic creature ever conjured by any fake, phony, false-assed religion ever put together by the minds of man. Republicans are cowards, especially where it concerns something as threatening as the truth. All right, we need a little humor in the program, so let's go to the Bush-Blair briefing today. If ever there were two people who gaze at each other with more homoeroticism in their looks at each other, I don't know who it would be, who are not openly out. But when Blair and Bush get together, Jesus, it almost makes me sexually aroused. It's unbelievable. The looks, when you see Bush holding the hand of one of the Saudi princes, what are there, 6 million Saudi princes? King Ibn bin Bao Saud, whatever the hell his name was, 40 years ago, what did he have, 7,000 children? Or, you know, I don't know, I don't care. But when Bush is holding the hands of a Saudi prince or a sheikh or a whatever the hell he is, it just is not the same, you know, as when he and Blair get together. First time they got together and they stayed at Camp David, it was like, I don't know, it was like a camp out, wasn't it? And they got up the next morning. They were both kind of blurry-eyed. And the reporter said, well, you know, how'd it go? And Bush says, well, I found out we both use the same toothpaste. Woo! And we both fight over the blankets at night. Oh, my God. Not that there's anything wrong with any of this. I wouldn't give a damn if Bush and Blair are having an affair. I couldn't care less. I'm just saying. When these two get together, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, little grab ass, little hand patting. There's a twinkle in Blair's eyes that just isn't there when he's back in England with his wife. So Bush opens the briefing with kind words for Tony Blair, who is apparently a 200-year-old dog with superhuman vision. Now remember that, a 200-year-old dog with superhuman vision. Have you ever heard of someone who can see beyond the horizon? Who can do that? But here it comes. After this welcome here, it's no wonder Bush and Blair, excuse me, it's no wonder that Blair and the British Parliament, Blair said the British Parliament applauded whenever Bush was attacked. Huh? How about that? Okay, here we go. And a one. And a two.
Pleased to welcome Tony Blair back to the White House. He is a good friend. He has led the British people for a long time, since 1797.
Stop it there.
Somebody asked me
that. Since 1797. Jesus H. God! He has led the British people for a long time, since 1797. Yeah, that's a long time. That's a long time. You're right, George. You're absolutely right. Start it over again. I've got to hear that.
Pleased to welcome Tony Blair back to the White House. He is a good friend.
Wink, wink.
He has led the British people for a long time, since 1797. Somebody asked me the other day, how would you define Tony Blair and your relationship with him? I said, first of all, it's cordial, it's open, and I appreciate the fact that he can see beyond the horizon.
And he's a great kisser.
And that's the kind of leadership the world needs. I do congratulate the Prime Minister for being a...
Watch out. Watch out.
When he gets on the subject, it's dogged.
When he gets on the subject, it's dogged?
Maybe he meant doggy style. I don't know.
Dogged? He's a good kisser. He always calls the morning after, too, doesn't he? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Here's some unintended irony from the unelected idiot, this time about the plight of the Palestinians. This is unbelievable.
Prime Minister and I discussed the humanitarian needs of the Palestinian people.
Really?
We recognize the deep humiliation that can come as a result of living in a land where you can't move freely.
What, like Iraq, maybe?
Where people can't realize dreams. We talked about the need to reject and fight terrorism. We understand the fright that can come when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home.
A rocket landing on top of your home. The fright. Is that what fright? We recognize the deep humiliation that can come as a result of living in a land where you can't move freely and where people can't realize dreams. Or, I might add, Mr. Bush, live to see their third birthday. My God. Now that the perfunctory opening love yous and love pats are out of the way, Bush and his puppy took questions from the press. British reporter asked about Tony Blair's replacement, Gordon Brown, who is going to be the new prime minister. The reporter addresses the question to Bush. Reporter says, it has been confirmed that Gordon Brown is going to be the next British Prime Minister. President Bush, you once said that you would like Tony Blair to stay for the duration of your presidency. He's not doing that. Do you think you're partly to blame for that?
The question is, am I to blame for his leaving? I don't know. I hope to help him in office the way Tony Blair helped me.
Yeah.
Newly elected president, Tony Blair came over. He reached out. He was... gracious,
yeah.
You know, was able to converse in a way that where our shared interests were the most important aspect of the relationship.
Does he sound drunk?
But my attitude is this. This man here is the prime minister. We got a lot of work to do till he finishes. He's going to sprint to the wire.
Sprint to the wire.
You know? He's going to finish the job that the people want him to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work with him to do it. That's the meetings today weren't, this wasn't like a farewell deal. This was, how can we continue to work together for the common good? And that's what we'll do. As to why things happen politically in, you know, Great Britain, I'd suggest you go over there and ask people.
Yeah, go over there and ask people. Or ask the Department of Defense. Isn't that what Tony Snow says? Heck, I don't understand politics. What do I look like? Some kind of political leader or something? He's going to sprint to the wire. Sprint to the wire. That sounds a lot like, what was that movie about the runners? Chariots of Fire. We'll be back in a minute.
The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living be? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Go ahead, sing, sing. Come on.
God only knows what I'd be without. God only knows what I'd be without. God only knows what I'd be without.
Tony!
God only knows
George!
What I'd be
Tony! George! Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So still, oh, how dear you king in that house on the hill. Looking out for love.
Need some wood?
Ten before the hour, back to the Bush Blair. Thingy today, briefing today. The next reporter here asked about the growing Paul Wolfowitz scandal. Of course, late this afternoon, Wolfowitz took his dollies and marbles and went home. But the question was from the reporter, Mr. President, the fate of Paul Wolfowitz appears to be hanging in the balance. After all we've heard in recent days, is it still possible for him to provide the kind of leadership needed at the bank?
First of all, I believe all parties in this matter have acted in good faith.
That's what you were told to say.
I regret that it's come to this.
And that too.
I admire Paul Wolfowitz.
But his breath stinks.
I admire his heart. And I particularly admired his focus on helping the poor.
Oh yeah, there's always that.
All I can tell you is I know that Paul Wolfowitz has a interest in what's best for the bank.
And his chicky poo.
And just like he's had an interest in what's best for making sure the bank focused on things that matter.
Like?
Human suffering. The human condition.
Yeah. Oh.
So I applaud his vision. I respect him a lot.
As one crime family member to another, right? The human condition. Jesus Christ, he sounds very Sartre-like there, doesn't he? He's Jean-Paul, and Tony Blair is Sartre's girlfriend, Simone de Beauvoir. Isn't it human suffering, the human condition? I have to get back to my reading now, and my writing. So Man or Monkey now gets kind of testy when a British reporter seems to suggest that Blair, being a lame duck of a sort, may not be an effective political partner at this point. The reporter says, Mr. President, if I could ask you, is this really still the right man to be talking to, this Tony Blair? Is it really possible, do you think, to make significant progress in the time that you have left?
You know, it's interesting. You're like trying to do a tap dance on this political grave, aren't you? I mean, this you don't understand how effective Blair is.
Oh, he's real effective.
I guess, because when we're in a room with world leaders and he speaks, people listen. Mm-hmm. And they view his opinion as considered and his judgment is sound.
Unlike me.
And I find it interesting, the first two questions are, you know, is this the right guy? Well, he happens to be your prime minister.
There's a lot of blowhards in the political process. You know?
Really?
A lot of hot air artists.
Really?
People who've got something, you know, fancy to say.
Ah.
Tony Blair is somebody who actually follows through with his convictions.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I guess this is the appropriate question to ask. You know, the right guy, or, you know, is he still standing? Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is just such a hot conversation. I can barely stand this. Oh. Oh.
What did he say about blowing?
I have no idea. He says, when we're in a room with world leaders and he speaks, people listen. When I speak, they hurl rotten vegetables and stuff cotton in their ears. I swear to God. And again, please don't misunderstand. I'm all for love in any form that it comes in. I couldn't care less. I'm also, you know, unless you're committed to somebody, if you're married or in a committed relationship, you're a partner or whatever the hell they call it, since they deny gay people the right to get married. But if you're committed to somebody, this doesn't apply. But I'm all for relationships and sex. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. If it's homosex, so what? If it's heterosex, so what? These two are just starstruck lovers. They have to be, at least on Bush's part. Tony. Tony. We got time for this one? Next up to the mic was American reporter Kelly O'Donnell, who asked about yet another budding scandal in this ultra-scandal-ridden criminal administration. She says, Mr. President, there's been some very dramatic testimony before the Senate this week from one of your former top Justice Department officials, Mr. Comey, who describes a scene that some senators call stunning. Sir, did you send your then chief of staff and White House counsel to the bedside of John Ashcroft while he was ill to get him to approve that program? And do you believe that kind of conduct from White House officials is appropriate?
Kelly, there's a lot of speculation about what happened and what didn't happen. I'm not going to talk about it. It's a very sensitive program. I will tell you that one, that the program is necessary to protect the American people, and it's still necessary because there's still an enemy that wants to do us harm.
I see.
And therefore, I have an obligation to put in place programs that honor the civil liberties of the American people. A program that was, in this case, constantly reviewed and briefed to the United States Congress.
Liar.
And so there'll be all kinds of talk about it. As I say, I'm not going to move the issue forward by talking about something. It's highly sensitive, highly classified subject.
Yeah, you respect classified information so much, you twit. You had no problem snooping on thousands of innocent Americans and outing a covert CIA agent, putting so many lives at risk and endangering agents in the field and ruining 20 years of intel work. Yeah, yeah. You care about protecting classified info? Sure you do. When it's something you want classified, like maybe something between you and Tony, huh? Or Karl Rove's email. I have an obligation to put in place programs to honor the civil liberties of the American people. And, of course, by honor, I mean totally disregard. I'm so funny. I used to be a cheerleader, you know. Oh, somebody give this guy a line of coke and just, you know, just let him get high and go play with Tony or himself or his tin soldiers or something. Here, George, try some of this. Whoa. Reminds you of college days, doesn't it? Huh? Or reminds you of a couple of weeks ago. We have a couple more sound bites. Blair actually talks in the last one, so stick around. And your phone calls, and what Dick Cheney is seeking. No, don't even think it. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back. past the hour. All right, let's finish up these sound bites. President Chucklenuts at the Bush-Blair hand-holding briefing. Goodbye, Tony. Goodbye, George. That occurred today in D.C. Again, not that there's anything wrong with it. But you know how I feel about hypocrisy or even more hypocrisy. Anyway, we're getting close to the end here. You can tell because Bush is getting dry and needs to have a little pick-me-up before heading home to Pickles or wherever. Where is Pickles living now? Are you even reading the tabloids, Kathy? She's staying in a hotel someplace? I don't know. Whatever. British reporter here asked about the very special Bush-Blair relationship and how much Bush is hated by British opposition leader David Cameron. Is he a liberal or a Tory? I don't even know. The reporter said, Mr. President, does it surprise you that aides close to David Cameron say that he does not want to be seen with you? And can I ask you both what it means for the prospect of future relations between Britain and America when the leader of the opposition dare not set foot in Washington?
I have enjoyed working with Tony Blair more than I could have possibly imagined.
Hey, hey, hey!
It's hard to define a relationship in a, you know, sound bites or press conferences or to, you know, in a way that really reflects the depth of what we have done together.
Easy now.
We filled a lot of space.
Oh God.
Together, we have had a unique ability to.
To what?
Speak in terms that help design common strategies and tactics to achieve big objectives.
David Cameron!
And it's, will I miss working with Tony Blair? You better will.
David Cameron! Hello? Anybody home? It's hard to define a relationship in sound bites or press conferences in a way that reflects the depth of what we have done together. Like the glorious terror wars, the mangled bodies, the oil prophets, and all for our beloved Savior, Jesus H. Christ. And so we filled a lot of space together. You know what they filled it with? No, not that. They filled it with corpses, incinerated bodies, exploded military ordnance, blown up cars and buses, demolished buildings, and a failed state that used to be called Iraq. My God.
I wish I could quit you.
Stop. Stop. Last one tonight. This time Bush's poodle answers the last reporter's question about how Bush is regarded by British opposition leader David Cameron. You'll notice that Mr. Bush couldn't handle the question. Not surprisingly, Bush ends the conference after this Q&A. Listen up.
Anybody sitting there advising a politician in, you know, any part of Europe today, if you want to get the easiest round of applause, get up and attack America. You get a round of applause, you attack the president. You get a
standing ovation.
Yeah. And that's fine if everyone wants to do that, but when all of that is cleared away, you're left with something very, very simple, fundamental, and clear, that battle for values is still going on.
What I know is the world needs courage, and what I know is this good man is a courageous man. Thanks for coming.
Oh, well. Anybody who's sitting there inviting a politician, any part of Europe today, if you want to get the easiest round of applause, get up and attack America. You can get a round of applause if you attack the president. Well, there's a reason for that, Tony. It's because our president is a murderous, lying, treaty-breaking, psychopathic, dry, drunk, drug-using son of a bitch. And why Tony Blair ever aligned himself with this nutball? And I wonder how if Bill Clinton's jealous. I thought Bill and Tony were going steady, and then Bill leaves the political stage, and George pops up, and all of a sudden Tony is like, "Oh well, goodbye, Bill. Goodbye. What was your name, Bill? Goodbye, Bill. Hi, George." I mean, how easy is that? This is like middle school, right?
But you said you loved me.
Well, I did then. This is now.
Well, there was that whole Monica thing.
That's true, the Monica thing. Oh, I don't know. All of a sudden, I just feel drained here, Kathy. These two on the same stage together, Tony Blair and George W. Bush, I don't care how you look at it. You want to play with it, play with it. If you want to get serious about it, get serious about it. But it just leaves me emotionally drained to hear the two of them talking. These are two guys who represent the two major English-speaking countries on the planet. Arguably, two of the most powerful, two of, they're not, you know, I'm certainly not discounting other countries that have their hands on nukes. And they stand there and talk this fantasy crap that has zero basis in reality. I don't get Tony Blair. Tony Blair is an educated man. Tony Blair has a history, or his country anyway, that goes back to hundreds of, well, as George Bush said, the 1797, Blair's been prime minister since 1797, but a history that goes back to the end of the Roman Empire. And he stands, Blair does, stands alongside this idiot, this total fool. I don't get this. I never have. I can understand Bush fawning and falling down in front of Blair. People like Bush do that when they're around their betters. But what the hell has Blair ever gotten out of this? I can't understand that. I can't get it. There was no prestige attaching himself to the United States. Especially over the past 5 to 6 years, 7 years, none whatsoever. Zero to gain by Blair in attaching himself to a dumbass like Bush, who is also a defiler of treaties, a disrespecter of international borders and boundaries, who decides, he wakes up one morning, decides he's going to invade another country, and does so, Bush. What does Blair have to gain? What has he gained from all this? Blair now, regardless of what Blair has done, and arguably he rescued his country from Thatcherism and Majorism, but Blair now, his legacy is going to be this murderous, bloody violation of another country's sovereignty, a persistent occupation that is only going to end badly. We all know this. The blood of hundreds of thousands of people splattered all over a number 10 Downing Street. What did Blair get from associating himself with Bush? The U.S. dollar is not worth a tinker's damn in the British economy anymore. What is the ratio now? 2-1? The pound over the dollar? 2-1! What has Blair gotten? I have no idea, unless it was all for sport. Unless Blair just said, oh, God, look at this. Look at this. Let's have some fun, Sherry. What do you say? Well. Oh, by the way, attorneys for Vice President Cheney and top White House officials told a federal judge today that they cannot be held liable for anything they disclose to reporters about CIA officer Valerie Plame or her husband, former Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV. The officials include senior White House advisor Karl Rove and Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Libby. They argue that the judge should dismiss a lawsuit filed by Wilson that stemmed from the disclosure. So Cheney and the rest of these rat bastards are seeking immunity.
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Song about moving on. Dick Cheney and a bunch of these rat bastards now are seeking legal immunity from all the crimes they've committed, starting with the crimes of disclosing to reporters the name of a covert CIA officer. That should turn out to be an interesting court case. That's as a result of Joe Wilson's lawsuit against them. What else have we got here? I think we're... one more psychopath. This Bolton, this John Bolton, he just won't go away. He's now saying that Iran should be attacked as quickly as possible before it develops nuclear weapons. This is our former ambassador to the United Nations, right? He told the Daily Telegraph of the UK that the European Union has to, in his words, get more serious about Iran and recognize that its diplomatic attempts to halt Iran's enrichment program has failed. The European Union has failed. It is time now, Bolton says, to make war. We'll make love later. He says Iran has, quote, clearly mastered the enrichment technology. Now they're not stopping. They're making progress. And our time is limited. We got to kill them. Bolton said, quote, it's been conclusively proven Iran is not going to be talked out of its nuclear program. So to stop them from doing it, we have to, well, massively increase the pressure. He went on to say, if we can't get enough other countries to come along with us to do that, then we've just got to go with regime change. And if all else fails, if the choice is between a nuclear-capable Iran and the use of force, then I think we need to look at the use of force. Oh, God. He refers to this little tin-horn punk Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as a Hitler marching into the Rhineland. If you don't stop them, the future is in his hands, not in your hands! Where do these people come from? What public urinal in hell do these people come from? People like Bolton. Oh, man. Let's do a phone call. Oh, that's a good idea, Mike. I think about Jeff Harris's promos. My program is caller-driven, so we take calls. What would that be like, to take calls? I don't know, Kathy. What would caller participation in this program be like?
Let's give it a shot. What's the worst thing that could happen?
That's true. Let's try gingerly. Let's try. Who have we got here? Ron in Pennsylvania. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Okay. You opened with the video of the
young girl, the 17-year-old being stoned to death.
I can barely like articulate my thinking about it, but you know, a lot of things came up to mind when you initially brought it up about our conceptions of the value of life. And you know, it just seems weird to me. We have this sort of Judeo-Christian overlay of like how important our existences are. You know, it's like Rousseau believed that everyone was innately good. And, you know, it's just a lie.
Yeah.
It's an absolute lie because, you know, I watched that video and people were cheering like it was a sporting event. And this one guy kept lobbing that cinder block on top of her.
Yeah.
And another kid leaned forward with his cell phone to take pictures. And, you know, I just look at that and I'm like going, you know, the basis for life is, really, you know, you can't assume that people are good. You can't. I'm not saying that you can, you know, like absolutely, you know, take the other course and, you know, and say that people are absolutely bad. But, you know, it's that it's that weird Western thing that I experienced this sort of discontinuity with when I think of like how people are can be so incredibly savage. You know, Burnsian phrase, man's inhumanity to man. I mean, it's so keen, and I think a lot of it is just driven by the lack of worth in life because of 6 billion people being on the planet, and you know, and all of this stuff, and it's kind of a scary trend when you think about it, how we've become so callous about that sort of stuff. You know, so many people disappear off the planet every day. You know, well, what does UNICEF say? Like 20,000 children die every day from like preventable causes. I mean, you know, it's
I think anyone who believes in the basic goodness of human beings is either a damn fool, or somebody who lives in a fantasy world. Ron, I got to leave you there. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Sure.
Call. Someone who lives in a fantasy world. You want to find out the basic goodness of humankind? Just remove all the laws, all the restrictions, all the strictures, all the government, and just turn people loose. Six before the hour. Monday night. What happens Monday night? That was kind of weird. No, I don't believe in the inherent goodness of humankind whatsoever. I just don't. And maybe that's from raising children. You know, kids have to be taught. We all have to be taught as to what is moral or ethical behavior. What is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And yet, right beneath the surface, it's right there. Otherwise, there would be no way to raise an army. You couldn't convince 18-year-olds to go kill in a most grievous and egregious way with no moral compunction whatsoever unless, you know, that beast was still there. I grant the obvious. I don't grant this. I mean, I observe. I'm aware that we are self-conscious. I don't know about other creatures on this planet. I was told one time on a massive peyote trip that the trees were also self-conscious. I know because they told me they were. But beyond that, I have no earthly idea. But self-consciousness does not equate with divinity or anything above that of a flatworm. Does it? I don't think so. I really don't. Which is not to say I'm a pessimist. I don't know what I am. What are you? Realist? Humanist? As far as religious garbage, it is what I say it is. It's religious garbage. If you are a believer, well, have at it. If you want, of course. You know, you grant me mine, I'll grant you yours. That's the way it works. But as far as any kind of inherent goodness in human beings, oh, please. Come on, stop. Stop, stop, stop. There is the possibility, I guess, of goodness. How do you define goodness? You know, tell me what century you live in and what geographic location and who your tribe is, and that will help me understand what you have decided is goodness. It certainly may not be goodness to me. I mean, these filthy, degenerate Muslims who brutalized and murdered this 17-year-old girl today, they thought they were doing something that was just reeking of goodness, didn't they? God damn them, you know, to their little Muslim hell, wherever it exists. Man. I started the program all screwed up about that. I don't want to finish the program about it. A young woman was murdered a month ago, and the video is out on the internet now, and she is one of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who were murdered, you know, in the past 2 or 3 months. Inherent goodness, please, come on. You know, just like Bush, go back and read your Sartre. All right, back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Matt in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike. Amen. Good Lord, I don't know where to start. I mean, I'm listening to your whole show on speakerphone, and I had a list of questions in front of me, and I hear what you're saying. First off, I'd like to say thank you for just putting into words my rage and anger every day I feel. Let me just quickly say, I know I have limited time. I lost two family members in 9/11. I have, my sister-in-law was a first responder, a Port Authority captain. She was killed. My cousin, my first cousin, was in the 82nd floor of one of the towers, and, you know, the plane just, you know, flew in and killed him. So. Mm-hmm. And I live in Santa Rosa, but I was born and raised in New York, and I was in New York, in Manhattan, saw the plane fly over my head on Broadway and go down. So, you know, I have to tell you, Mike, I have been almost obsessed with the news and this administration and all the nonsense that is going on. But this country elected a sociopath.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, so everything that comes after is, well, duh, he's a sociopath.
Right.
You know, and you know, it just, you get to the point, when is America, I think America is, the polls are showing, you know, we're getting out of this narcotic consumer stupor that we're in, you know, just everything in front of us is, that's all we need. And everything outside the world is, you know, I just to digress for a second, a 17-year-old kid, I was in Gitmo for a year. I was a plane captain in the Navy.
Really?
And so I know every inch of that base. There's the windward side and the leeward side.
Was turned into a torture camp.
Exactly.
Right.
And
okay.
The leeward side. That's the side. That's where I was attached to VC-10. It's a squadron that trains. Shakedown cruises that the aircraft carriers that come in and, you know, whatever.
Right.
That is a hellhole, okay? No wind. It's hotter than hell. They have these huge land crabs in the winter around the spring that crawl everywhere, okay? So they're all in these, you know, this place, it has huge mosquitoes. It's just a living hell.
Mm.
People got to understand that this is not some little, this is hell on earth, and it's the worst place. That being said, it's just, thank you, thank you, thank you for just ranting, because I'm telling you, it's cathartic. You can hear me in my voice. It's just, I talk to people. I have people over my house. I'm a successful businessman. I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a 4-year-old child. I'm a 46-year-old guy. You know, I'm kind of, you know, an older parent, and you know, I feel all the things you say, and you're doing a great service, sir. That's all I got to say. Let it rip, because what you're doing is venting for me and tens of thousands or maybe millions of other people. This country will turn around, sir. It will. Okay? It's going to take a long time. These people will be purged every day. There's a Wolfowitz. There's a Rumsfeld. They're going to go. We're going to look back at this and go, what the F did we just go through?
Yeah. I hope we get to that point, Matt. I really do. Sometimes it's real difficult for me in my daily musings and wandering around inside my own head. It's very difficult for me to think that we will get past it, because there seems to be a convergence of really bad stuff going on right now. Our economic system is in deep trouble. The planet itself is in deep environmental or ecological trouble. It seems like there are madmen in positions of power all over the planet, or people that are just so driven by a kind of consumerism or materialism that is mind-boggling. And I guess I'm referring to right now the Chinese.
Mike, everywhere you look, you could just, you know, you could shake your head. And I agree with everything you're saying. It is a race to the edge and to the abyss. And I don't know if we're going to be able, if we hit critical mass with our environment, have we hit it with the corporate takeover of our government? I don't know. I know my dad was a B-24 Liberator flying over Poughkeepsie, where 60% of his squadron was shot down in World War II. And he saw a lot. And just think about a 26-year-old kid living through that, where every, you know, there's a dozen countries just, you know, killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. And, you know, and look, we got through that. I don't know. But, and as far as us being innately good, look at your child. You're right. You do have to train that child to not, you know, strangle your cat, which my child just did about 10 minutes ago. I'm like, Renee, don't do that.
But, right.
Yeah. You know, for every, you know, for the 10,000 acts of kindness, when you see one act of brutality, like we just saw in the news earlier today, it does seem to wipe it all out. But we are innately good. There is hope for us. But still, let it rip, sir.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for checking
in.
All right. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you. Yeah, I've watched my children when they were babies, and I get to do it all over again here with Molly. And it's not that strangling the cat would be a bad thing to her. It's just a thing, you know. The children are amoral, obviously. They have no moral sense. They have no ethical sense. They're all about, you know, just massive ego, and very quickly on the heels of that, id gratification. So takes an awful lot of effort to develop the superego, doesn't it? Just got an email from Great Hair, who writes, I missed the beginning of the show. Did you already read the essay tonight? I forgot all about it. So we'll do it tomorrow night. And what she's referring to is a series of essays in the current issue of Harper's Magazine, Deconstructing Bush, or Undoing Bush, How to Repair 8 Years of Sabotage, Bungling, and Neglect. And I read them the other night, and they were just so compelling to me that I just thought, well, I haven't read anything on a consistent basis on this program since we did 1984 from start to finish. For those of you who went through that with me, well, with me and Kathy, because Kathy played the part of Julia. But since then, and how long? That was months ago, wasn't it? That was back in the grim old Air America days. Yeah. And speaking of the grim old Air America America days, again, Sam Cedar will be on the program tomorrow as a guest. And no, he's not going to be here to announce that he's leaving the neoliberal Air America network to come to Nova M. That would be great, but that's not the purpose of his visit tomorrow night. Well, you know, we're just going to chat and find out what's going on. If you go to Air America's new website, it's scary. Jesus, has that network gone right into the commode since it was an idea that Shelley and Anita Drobny had 6 years ago, and since it you know, was originally put together. And even though there's still, you know, Randy Rose is still there, Tom Hartman's still there. I'm not talking about the talent. I'm just talking about the madness of the people who are running it now. It's, oh well. All right, stick around. Quick break. We'll be right back. Did you have a good time tonight? I did, believe it or not, except for the story about the young Iraqi woman stoned to death. Oy. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program, co-produced out of Phoenix at our flagship station there, KPHX. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I haven't gotten any emails lately from people who want to know Chris's last name. I've been saying our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, for what now, Kathy? 5 years? It's been a long time. You want to leave America for just a week? If you haven't checked it out, go to NovaMradio.com or MikeMalloy.com and read up on the Truth Seeker Cruise we're going on this October to the Mexican Riviera. Kathy and I have never cruised before, and it looks like fun. We're going to go. Molly is coming. So those of you who like children, come on. Those of you who don't like children, I don't know. Well, they've got babysitting service on this ship, right? There are some fantastic rates. And if you book quickly, you can get a really nice balcony stateroom for just $10 more than an ocean view cabin. Now, that means something to you people who cruised. I don't know what the hell that means. I have no idea, Kathy. I'm sorry. We're going to have several opportunities and occasions to hang out together during this trip. You know, meet and greet, a cocktail party, a little Q&A session. Maybe we'll find a Republican on board and throw him overboard. You know, I don't know, just fun stuff like that. And we're trying to should I mention the Bart Cop thing? We'd love to get Bart Cop to come along. We'll see. All right, what else we got here? Back to your phone calls. Robert from San Mateo, California. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, Mike. It's the Straussian thing in Chicago that Rockefeller, he brought Leo Strauss, the Zionist guy, over. That's the urinal that these guys crawled out of.
Is that, well, that's true. I understand the powerful influence that Strauss had. But where do you find this many, and I'm talking about the neoconservatives, this many really sociopathic individuals, and then they wind up in government together?
Well, they're cultured, Mike. The aristocracy, it's spelled with an H, not an A. It gets handed down. That's how these guys are always at the top, calling the shots. They're dissociative personality disorder. They're cultured. I mean, look at Prescott Bush. I mean, imagine that, backing Hitler and then his son. That he's right there in Dealey Plaza the day Jack Kennedy gets killed. He becomes head of the CIA, vice president, when Reagan takes a bullet. I mean, like he learned something from LBJ. I mean, then his kid gets in through a fraudulent election. And then look what happened on 9/11. You got nine neocons calling for an attack upon the United States. I mean, isn't that treason? And then they investigate it.
It used to be treason.
Well, then they investigate themselves. Philip Zelikow has a PhD in marketing marketing and public relations. Uh-huh. And he was the guy with Keene that decided that, would not consider controlled demolition or the U.S. Air Force training exercises as having any significance in 9/11. Okay. And Cheney was running terror training exercises that day. So, you know, they called for it. They were it happened on their watch, and they had the power to cover it up. Motivation, yeah. Opportunity, and means. A police investigator, any investigators, anyone listening to this, just check it out. And the spying, the total spying, is because elements of the military are against these guys and know they have a legitimate reason to move against them. And so they have to cover their backs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're spying on everybody.
Well, we're in a world of hurt then, aren't we?
We're in a world of hurt, Mike. And say your prayers. Everybody say their prayers and remember to meditate and give up the stress. And remember, false evidence appearing real. Yoda in Star Wars said, fear, anger, hate, suffering. It's okay to have an intense dislike for their behavior, but try not to get wrapped up in the personality. Saddam Hussein, a mother, was raped, and he was given to a sadistic uncle to raise, and he was the USA's number one guy in that region. And the Bushes are no different. All these guys have been cultured to be the way they are. You need to see it that way. You need to stand up to them. We've got half the military on our sides, at least, probably more than that. Three-quarters of the police in the country know that 9/11 was an inside job. Okay, so, you know.
But the silence is deafening.
It is deafening. It is deafening, and we need to make a hell of a noise and say, you know what, the 21st century isn't going to be like the 20th century. We are going to invent solutions. You can take a car, heat the gasoline from liquid to gaseous state, injected into the cylinders with ozone into the intake manifold, double your mileage, get 20% more power, and that's been around for decades. People can do that, but why isn't it in every car? Instead of getting 15 miles with it, you're getting like or 20 miles, you're getting 40 miles per gallon. We can invent our way out of this situation around petrochemicals.
Well, that's the only hope. That's the only hope. I hope you're right, and I appreciate your optimism. Although your optimism obviously is colored with a lot of contempt and anger, so is mine, whatever optimism I have left. And sometimes I truly wonder. But the idea of meditating, yeah, let's see if we can elevate the planet. That sounds pretty good to me. Thanks, Robert.
All right.
I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. Elevate the planet. Wait a minute. That would mean pulling it out of orbit. No. Never mind. Never mind. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to get to the folks that are on hold.
After tonight's show, I feel like, I don't know, I either need a shower or a cigarette.
No. We don't smoke anymore. We're coming up on, what, 5 years without smoking? Good for us. I'll see you tomorrow night. Don't forget, Friday night, tomorrow night, Sam Cedar will join us. I don't know why he's joining us except just to chat and raise hell and throw stones. So I'll look for you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.